That's right. The Burchy Kid joining us on the Carson Anderson program. Burchy, you get the pleasure of talking with not just myself, but Stoney is in the house. Doug will be back on Monday.
Burchy!
Whoa, a distinct honor.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Another member of the Detroit Football Network podcast. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, rate, review, subscribe, listen wherever you get your podcast.
That's right. Absolutely.
So, Burchy, while you're out there, you're there at practice. Who didn't practice today? Who did practice? What can we expect guys in and out of the lineup for Sunday's game?
Yeah, so we just got back from watching 10 minutes of practice. Laporta was not out there. He likely won't play on Sunday. And Melifonwu, who's obviously still on IR, recently was activated, or at least had his practice window open, was also not out there. Probably most notably, Carlton Davis was out there. He suffered some kind of hand injury in practice yesterday, which made him limited. But he was out there today. He had a brace on his left hand, but we did see him use both hands to catch a pass during a warm-up drill. So he should be out there, and that's huge, even against a team and a quarterback like Mac Jones and the Jags, because he's played really well, Carlton Davis has, for about a month and a half now, but been this team's best cornerback really by far. But I think most notably, and I've mentioned this on this show before, is that we just continue to see Penei Sewell warm up the receivers along with Jared Goff by throwing deep balls. And I'm not talking little like 10-yard fades. I'm saying like 40-yard, perfect arcing, tightly spinning deep balls that are like as smooth and as crisp as anything that comes out of Jared Goff's hand. And it just feels like we might at some point this season see Ben Johnson cook up some play for Penei Sewell to literally throw a touchdown pass. And I just wouldn't put it past Ben Johnson. We were just looking this up in the media room. As far as we could tell, only two offensive linemen ever have attempted a pass in the NFL. Wow. And the last was Jeff Saturday back in 2004 for the Colts. But I just think it bears watching. And maybe it's this week in a big fourth quarter blowout where we see Penei Sewell show off his arm.
You know, it's funny because as good as Jared Goff is, one thing that never looks great is the football coming out of his hand.
Right, tight spirals.
Yeah, it's not a tight spiral. It's usually a little wobbly. I mean, it gets where it's got to be there, and he's a great quarterback for this team. But to hear that Penei Sewell is throwing tight spirals 40 yards downfield, that's kind of funny.
If you watched them side by side and just saw the ball coming out, you would assume that Penei Sewell was the 9-year quarterback and the multiple-time Pro Bowler who currently, or at least as of last week, was an MVP quarterback. He can really spin that thing. And you guys asked him, Gator, you know, asked Jared Goff, who's the best non-quarterback throwing the ball on the roster, and he mentioned Kirby Joseph, St. Brown, and Penei Sewell. And I'm telling you, man, he just keeps on proving it during warmups.
You know, for S's and G's, let's say they do have some kind of play dialed up, wouldn't you rather them save it for when they might really surprise people in a situation where they might need it, as opposed to, like as you described, a possible blowout?
Stoney, the well is deep, and everything that Ben Johnson does serves to set up the next thing he does.
I know.
And if Penei Sewell throws a touchdown on Sunday, it probably means that it's setting up Taylor Decker to throw one in the NFC Championship against the Niners in Ford Field in Detroit.
by the way, check it out, like stuff from practice. I mean, I see Emmanuel Mosley. I mean, it's like almost an old bit, but full practice. When is he going to be activated?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, they aren't desperate to activate him. There isn't really a pressing need there, just given how well the defensive backs have played. And you know, he was probably going to play that role that Amik Robertson has taken so well to in the slot. And between Amik and Carlton and Terrion Arnold, this defense and the secondary is playing better and better. So they're not in a pinch there. And if it happens, it would have to happen relatively soon. But they feel really good about the way that Carlton and Amik and Terrion have played. You know, I caught up with Terrion yesterday and just kind of asked him, you know, how he would assess this defense so far, what he likes about the way they've played. And he said, I liked it, that we haven't unlocked our full potential yet. And I asked him what he thought his best game was. And he said, I don't think I've had it yet. And you know, that kind of goes for the defense as a whole. They're all kind of striking that tone. The one thing Arnold did say that he's really proud of is that teams know that when they play the Lions, they're going to feel it the next day. Like, they're going to wake up sore, he said. He said, when you watch us play on tape or you look at our personnel on paper, you know that you're in for a fight and that you're going to wake up uncomfortable the next morning. And I do think that based on the Honolulu flu, that those words ring true for this defense so far.
Yeah, it's been that way for a couple of years now. They've been a very physical team, and that's what Dan Campbell brings to the table when he started coaching this team. But one area where I think maybe we can agree that they do need to improve on, even though they might be the best offensive line in football, the offensive line play in terms of pass protection has led to, you know, Jared Goff getting hit maybe more often the last few weeks. And Taylor Decker missed a game and he's missed some practice, but he's back. But how does it look, and how have they talked about the offensive line?
Well, the offensive line has owned it. I mean, Decker said it himself this week that the play from a pass protection standpoint has not been up to their standard over the past 3-4 weeks. Others in that room have said the same thing. Even Ben Johnson has acknowledged it. They hold themselves to an incredibly high standard, and they have ceded more pressure than they're used to. It was almost shocking last week when you saw Penei Sewell give up a couple rushes or pressures in one-on-one sets. Like, you almost have to rub your eyes and make sure that what you're watching is real. But it's also reassuring in that sense. I mean, Penei Sewell isn't going to have back-to-back subpar games. He'll bounce back in a big way. And obviously, Daniil Hunter won a number of reps against Dan Skipper last week, who was filling in for Taylor Decker. So Decker returning and Sewell getting back to what he does, and then the rest of the group just playing solid football, makes you feel like that issue should and will fix itself.
And it is going against the one strength of a horrible team, is the Jaguars' pass rush. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know, you know, Josh Hines Allen, formerly just Josh Allen, and of course Trayvon Walker have had pretty good seasons, and, you know, they can be very disruptive.
Yeah, and it almost hasn't mattered because the Jaguars are so vulnerable in the back end. I mean, this defense has allowed the highest passer rating in the NFL at 106.5. And just for some context, that's about the same passer rating as Patrick Mahomes had in his most recent MVP season. So this defense is basically turning every opposing quarterback into MVP Mahomes. And on the flip side, the Lions have allowed the lowest passer rating in the NFL. And they have turned every quarterback into this year's version of Jacoby Brissett by passer rating. So both defenses play tons of man coverage. I think the big difference for me is that the Lions have the pieces, like I mentioned, in Davis and Arnold and Robertson to successfully execute that scheme, and the Jaguars really don't. Thought it was noteworthy that when you look at the completion percentage allowed in man coverage, the Lions is close to or under 50%. The Jags is close to or above 70%. And so I think we'll see the Lions take advantage and sort of victimize that secondary on Sunday.
Well, I mean, you're bringing up some numbers that are pretty impressive there. When I look at it, Jacksonville only has 21 sacks on the season. That's less than the 24 that the Lions have. They've only got five interceptions on the season. That's less than the 13 that the Lions have, which is second in the National Football League. And you already mentioned the quarterback rating differential there with 106 for Jacksonville and 75 for the Lions. Is this a game where you expect to see Jared Goff just have a field day, or is this going to be another one of these well-balanced games?
I expect to see Jared Goff on the bench in the fourth quarter for the second time at Ford Field this season. I think that the Lions, as they did against the Titans, just take care of business in this game. But I think it's more of an offensively driven show. Obviously, against Tennessee was with the defense and special teams. I think the offense really just fires on all cylinders against this team, and there really isn't any doubt in my mind. I mean, Stoney, we were talking on the podcast this week, like, how many points would you have to be getting to take the Jags? And I said with a straight face, like, darn near 20. Like, I would want 20 and a half. I would want the hook in addition to 20 to feel comfortable taking the Jags. I just think the Lions will go into this game and play so well for three quarters that they can rest guys like Goff and others in the fourth.
I would say 17 and a half for me, but, you know, 20, you know, I
understand. You're a coward.
That's all right. Let me ask you this. After watching the Philly-Washington game yesterday, would you agree that as of now, and it's fluid, as they like to say, the Lions' biggest competition to get to the Super Bowl will be the Philadelphia Eagles as of right now?
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles have won, what, seven straight now or six straight, and it seems like Saquon Barkley is getting better by the week. You know, he's putting up 140, 150-plus yards with ease at this point, and that was always the vision when they acquired him, that if you put this guy after 5 years of misery in New York behind a talented offensive line, his talent's going to shine. Well, it's all happening. It's all falling into place. And the Eagles made some key additions this offseason to that aging secondary. There were some good pieces there, but they were mostly veteran pieces. And you're seeing guys like Quinyon Mitchell make a big difference for that defense. So, yeah, it does feel like, you know, 10 weeks in, that's maybe the collision course in the NFC.
It's funny because we were like, I wouldn't say breaking it down, but comparing, you know, the Lions and the Eagles, you know, by positions. And it's a lot closer than I actually thought. I mean, the Lions obviously have a big advantage at safety and in special teams, especially the way Elliott kicked yesterday.
And head coaching.
Other than that, I mean, you could argue, you know, is Goff a lot better than Hurts? I'd say he's a little better than Hurts. The running game in itself is pretty even because they both have really good offensive lines. Philly's receivers on, you know, A.J. Brown and Smith and Goddard are just as good as, you know, J-Mo, St. Brown, and LaPorta, who's not even playing this week. So it's interesting, actually.
Yeah, it would be a heck of a matchup. I think the Eagles can counter a lot of things that the Lions do well, and that's kind of been the case with those two teams beginning last season. You know, you look at those lines, and that's where those playoff games tend to be won, is in the trenches. And the Eagles and the Lions have been mentioned kind of in tandem now as the two best offensive lines in the NFL. And the Eagles also, like the Lions do, have some serious talent on the interior of their defensive line. Jalen Carter seems to be like an all-pro player on the rise. Obviously, he was quiet by the end of last season, but he has reannounced himself this year. We see Aleem McNeil making the same step just a couple years later for the Lions. So I do think if those teams end up colliding, it's a game that's decided in sort of a physical fight in the trenches.
Well, let's hope when they play that it'll be here at Ford Field for the NFC Championship.
Absolutely. By the way, Birchie, since we were talking about it, will you be watching tonight the Tyson-Paul match, and what do you think?
No, I don't think I will be. I think I have to take little man to some kind of Christmas Village or Santa Claus photos, which is about as fanciful as Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. I mean, those two, Santa Claus and that boxing match, kind of seem like they're cut from the same cloth.
We'll see what kind of fight you got to get the kid in the right dress today. Yeah. Not dress, but the right
was there any talk?
Apparel.
I think that's mom's job more than mine. I just got to get myself there on time, which is no guarantee.
Fighting, getting in the winter coat. I don't want it.
Was there any talk about the fight in the locker room among the players at all?
No, I haven't heard anyone mention it. I'm sure a lot of them will be tuned in, but no, it hasn't come up yet anyways.
All right, thanks, Birchie. Look forward to it.
See you Sunday.
All right, guys. Talk next week.
All right, Will Birchfield out there at Allen Park getting ready for the Lions game against the Jaguars on Sunday.